Welcome back to the third hour of the KPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Every Saturday, always glad to have you along for all or part of the ride right here on KPK between 5 and 8 a.m., 15:30 a.m., and 93.1 FM. Hey, before we talk to Robbie Dunham, I want to announce that in lieu of all the events and everything else that have been canceled this year, the Pittsburgh Striper and Sturgeon Derby is going to be held October 24th and 25th. The Derby is definitely on. You can find out some information at pittsburghmarina.com/fishderby, okay? And remember, Pittsburgh is spelled without the H like it is in the other Pittsburgh, the coal Pittsburgh. pittsburghmarina.com/fishderby, October 24th and 25th. Now let's talk to Robbie Dunham, who's camping at Lake Pardee. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bob.
Must be nice to be outside camping without a lot of smoke, huh?
Well, you couldn't have said that any better. It's been really nice up here. We woke up to rain yesterday for about 2.5 hours, and once it cleared, it was beautiful blue skies and beautiful stars last night.
Oh, boy. I mean, everybody is just almost in shock. It makes you feel like you'd never see that again.
Yeah, we were thinking the same thing. How blue the skies were. That rain and the little breeze that we had yesterday evening really cleared it out up here.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to talk trout fishing, but get me updated on the kokanee there. It seems like they're about over at Pardee, huh?
Yeah, they're getting, to the end of their stage. They really, really are stacked up the river arm between Twin Coves and Indian Head up there. Deer Island area around that orange ball has got quite a bit of fish up there. You're going to be trolling pretty deep, 120 to 150 now. So there's plenty of fish up there if you want some good smokers.
Are they? What kind of shape are they in, though? Usually they kind of deteriorate a little bit when they get ready to spawn, just like any salmon.
Correct. The males are starting to turn. They absorbed all their scales, getting a little slimy, and the meat's getting a little bit mushy. But the hens, the females, are full of eggs and silver and bright dime and in good shape.
Okay. But you're after trout. Now, what are you doing to catch the trout? And are you catching trout?
Yesterday, I had my wife and her, one of her best friends, with me up here yesterday. And we had 15 trout in the boat at 2 o'clock. And they wow. all range from 1 to maybe 2 pounds. So your typical nice Lassen rainbows.
Wow, that's great. That is great. No big fish, though. Kind of surprising.
Yeah, I don't know if they're putting in the real big fish now. The ones that I've seen and talked to people, they've been all 2 pounds and smaller. I mean, I'm sure there's some big ones out here still, and maybe some of those lightning trout that are still left around. But we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, all these fish had to be planted last spring anyway. But it looks like they might have put in it looks like the majority of the fish were the ones you're catching right now, I guess, huh, Robbie?
I'm actually been out in the main lake. They did a 1,000-pound plant yesterday, so I think there's a lot of fish that are still in the recreation area and, you know, just coming out of the narrows there. But I've been targeting these fish out in the main body, so the fish that I got yesterday, I don't think were the planters from yesterday.
I'm surprised they planted so early. Aren't the water temperatures a little too warm? What is the water temperature?
Well, I'm looking at my fish finder right now, and it's 73.9. The last time I was up here, it was in the 80, 81. So it's actually come down, you know, a good 7-8 degrees.
Wow. That still seems like it's way too warm to plant fish.
Yeah, but those fish, when they plant them right there from the arena, they don't hang around very long there. They get out of there pretty quick.
Yeah, I would hope so. Okay. So how deep are you fishing, Robbie?
Everything's been between 35 and 50, Bob. My 40, 45 rods yesterday were by far my best rods.
Okay. And still using the Speedy Shiners?
Yes. The red and gold one yesterday did most of the damage. We probably caught 8 of the 15 on that one gold and red.
That's been the good one all year, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It's been a real good one at every lake I fished at this year.
Yeah. Okay, Robbie. Hey, thanks for taking time out of your camping trip to call. Good luck today. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you. Robbie Dunham, Koch Machine Guide Service. Here's his number, 209-712-6611. You want to learn how to catch some trout out of a lake, I guess you go to him. Let's talk to Craig Newton, a Willfish Tackle in Auburn. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Well, we're in a kind of a situation here with a lot of the waters in your area, like Frenchman's and Hell Hole, still closed, although a couple of other national forests opened up. As of 8 o'clock this morning, that was Tahoe and Lassen, but as usual, I haven't heard a thing from El Dorado. Have you?
Haven't heard anything, no. Yeah. We're kind of waiting for that to open up again.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath. Anyway, but you keep an eye on Folsom Lake, and last time we talked, you were catching a few salmon. What about now?
Same thing's going on. A few folks have been able to get limits on salmon from about 16 to 18 inches. Trolling speedy shiners and flasher and kokanee cut plugs, and then also some of the GVF spinners have been working pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
oh, you carry GVF as well?
Yes, we do.
Oh, good. You've got some good stuff.
No, he's got great stuff. Yeah, we use his Wee Dragons, which is like a small J plug in there, and then we also use his spinner bugs in the lighter colors that work great. They look like a pond smelt, so they do really well. So yeah.
Oh, good.
Good success.
You know,
his stuff.
Nobody comes out with a real good pond smelt imitation.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things to get close. But yeah, his little he calls it a Pina Colada spinner does really well in there. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah. The speedy shiners are working well, and so all that stuff seems to be doing a decent job. They're all in the South Fork Channel, kind of from Folsom Point up towards Browns is where they're getting them right now.
Okay. You know, I got to believe they're in that channel only because with the control reservoirs up there, they're getting more water out of there than they would the North Fork. What do you think?
It could be that. It's also, I've talked to some fishing game folks who have done surveys of the South Fork, and there are some salmon that spawn in the South Fork, so they may be staging up to start going up there. So,
yeah. Well, so you're not hearing anything at all in the North Fork, Craig?
There's some North Fork action actually in the river itself. From the confluence down, there's been some decent trout fishing in the last couple of weeks. I think we have some of the rainbows out of Folsom heading up into there.
I see.
So there's been some nice fish being caught in there in the last couple of weeks.
So how do you access them? You're going to have to go down in a drift boat?
No, there's the China Bar access is one where you can get to them. That's part of the Auburn State Rec area. You can actually fish from the confluence down a ways. There's also a whitewater park that you can get access at the old dam site. So there's a few spots where you can get access to that lower section of the river.
Okay. It might be worth it because if they're heading up there, they're going to be moving too. You know, they're probably looking for a little colder water themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, the other spot, you know, that whole Auburn State Rec's got some access to the middle and north forks of the American that are outside the forest area where you can still get into. So, I mean, the North Fork below Clementine's full of smallmouth, and that's been a pretty active spot to get to as well.
You can just walk up that road, huh?
Yeah, and any deep pool is going to have some smallies in it.
Yeah, and that's going to be getting better as we get the temperatures cool down a little. I think that whole area is underfished. Well, mainly, once you get up above there, that's pretty rugged country, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty billy goating. You're getting up and down quite a bit. And, you know, the trail down, from the trail down to the river is pretty vertical in some spots, so there's kind of limited access. But and it gets a lot of attention during the summer for swimming and recreational other than fishing activity. So it's kind of busy down there most of the year. This time of year is when it starts settling down a little bit, but you can actually get out there and fish a little bit.
Okay. Well, hopefully the National El Dorado will follow suit. They're usually the last to do so, but maybe within the next few days, if you find out they're going to open up the forest, let me know. We'll let everybody know.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate you calling in.
No problem, Bob. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. Craig Newton of Willfish Tackle in Auburn, right off Highway 49, heading out of town toward Nevada City. That's a great little shop. His number, 530-887-0839. We will be back with Mr. Kyle Wise of Headhunter Guide Service right after this. Welcome back. Welcome back. We have been talking to Kyle Wise of Headhunter Guide Service about the huge kokanee in New Malonis Reservoir all summer long. And he was saying, well, we're going to fish them, you know, right through. And I think it's just about done. Unless you want to go chase them upriver. Anyway, I talked to him about that yesterday. Kyle, those heading down the New Malonis Reservoir expecting to catch some of those big kokanee, sounds like they might be disappointed. What's the latest?
They are coming very scarce to find. I've been out there a few times, and I've been lucky enough to catch one, and we have now switched over to trout fishing.
Wow. So it went down in a hurry, huh?
It did. I mean, if people wanted to run upriver and play in the trees, they could probably still get them, but I'm not going to risk it, and then I'll just switch over to trout fishing.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, you know they're up there somewhere. And the last time you went out, how big a fish did you get?
Our last kokanee of the year was 19 and a quarter inches.
My goodness. Now, Kyle, do you think it's a possibility? I mean, we talk about this every year. Do you think it's a possibility that some of these fish could be like holdovers next year and even be bigger?
If we're referring to the kokanee, no.
I mean, you know, you about a month ago, 3-4 weeks ago, we were talking, and you were catching some kokanee that size that looked like they were, you know, starting to lose the scales, developing a little hook jaw, and then you were catching others almost as big that didn't look like they had any sign of spawning. So that's where my hope is, maybe for at least a few of these to make it through to next year.
I'm hoping those 14 and 15-inch fish that are still scaled up will be next year's fish. I'm praying that's what happens.
Yeah.
There's still smaller kokanee to be had. You're marking them at 45 and 65 feet. Yeah. I just prefer not to catch those fish this time of year. I'll just switch over to trout and leave those for next year's season.
Well, you know, we could have a potentially a pretty good year because those fish are already 14 inches. I know some are even bigger than that. And you give them, 10 months to grow, I got to believe they'll be right up there at 19 and 20 inches, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I foresee this happening next year with the amount of those fish still in the lake.
Yeah. Tell us what you're doing for trout.
Trolling speedy shiners.
Okay. What size, Kyle?
16th ounce.
Okay. And tell us what you're doing.
Trolling anywhere from 25 down to 85 feet, 3.5 miles an hour.
Those fish are spread out that far from that shallow to that deep, huh?
There's bait literally littered all over the lake.
So they're growing too. What size of the fish, what size are they that you're getting right now?
You can range them from 7 pounds down to 14 inches.
That's quite a range, huh?
It's just the luck of the draw to find the big one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and is there any particular depth that the bigger ones are coming out, or are they in that whole range?
No, it seems like our bigger fish are coming from 55 plus.
Yeah.
55 down to 85.
Are you fishing the main body of the lake mostly?
I am fishing from Parrott's Ferry Bridge all the way down to the south end of the lake, just covering water.
Boy, you make that run a couple times, your day's over, huh?
It is. There's not one hot spot. There's just so much bait. Just pay attention to your graph, look for the bait balls, and when you see the big arcs underneath them, fish the area hard.
Okay, well, that is great, great news. A lot of people don't know how to catch these bigger fish. I just think they run out of patience, don't you?
Oh, they do, and it's all about electronics. You'll see the bait balls, and if there's no arcs underneath them, it's obvious that there's no big fish with them. There's just so much bait in that lake, you just have to find the right bait ball to pound on.
That's Kyle Wise of Headhunter Guide Service. So just about what he was saying, it was going to happen. However, he's into the big rainbows, and looks like we might have a real good year next year in New Melones. His number to book a trip, 209-531-3966. After the break, Chris Ditter, head rush about salmon in the Sacramento River near Sacramento. Now, though, you know, last week we mentioned about Governor Newsom pounding his climate change thing, and then after I talked about all that and said, well, you can have whatever climate you want, but with all the fuel in the forests are going to burn. And the next day, I mean, the president came into town, and of course he had his resources secretary, Wade Crowfoot, there to back him up. Of course, who appoints the resources secretary? The governor. Who can fire him? The governor. So what is Wade Crowfoot going to do? He'll do what every resources secretary has done in the last 30 years. Do whatever the governor wants. Say whatever the governor wants. And Wade Crowfoot says, we have to pay attention to more than fuels in the forest. Well, the problem is, they're not paying attention to fuels in the forest. Newsom is so desperate to protect his climate change legacy, that is not going to stop forest fires. He said we could do a better job on prescribed burning. You know, they burned 125,000 acres this year before the fire season. That is like 1/7 of one big fire. And we had how many big fires, 20 or 30? In other words, he's doing nothing. And, you know, all the environmental rules that stop the burning, that stop the herbicides, stop the clearing of brush because there's no money, the Forest Service doesn't log, the Forest Service definitely mismanages it, the forest. The Forest Service is the one common denominator in all the western states where there's big fires. So, and it's not always their fault because they don't log as much anymore. But, you know, you're just, and then Newsom has the gall to say, I'm losing patience with those who are not buying into my climate change. Well, I'm so sorry, but you're going to have to verify what you're saying is true. And you have not done that. It's going to be hot next year. It's hot every year. And we're going to have fire next year. After the break, more salmon fishing. Welcome back, welcome back. Well, salmon season is getting underway. They've been catching them for a few weeks, but, you know, nothing to really write home about. The last week or 10 days, things have changed. Weather's cooled down a little bit. And Chris Ditter of Head Rush Sport Fishing has been out doing it. He joins us now. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Bob. How you doing?
You any luck yet today?
No, not yet. We went over some fish, but there's a lot of weeds, a lot of vegetation in the water. When we pulled up, they were pretty covered with vegetation. But, you know, the good thing is that we're marking some fish here, some really good marks. But no takedown. I my buddy did catch one just now. So they're here.
Hey, Chris, I'm interested. What kind of vegetation?
You know, it's a bunch of grass. You know, which is grass. It's a mix of vegetation that's in the water. It's actually gotten a lot better than it has a week ago. Even the water temperature has gotten a lot better. It's 68 degrees right now.
That's good.
You know, last Wednesday, yeah, it was 72, 73 degrees. So that's a big change.
Oh, well, so much for our water quality control board, huh?
Yeah, what water control board?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They don't have a clue what's going on there. But anyway, are you fishing like from, let's say, Discovery Park on down to where, Freeport or Garcia Bend, right. What?
Exactly, down to the Freeport area. Okay. So it's a long stretch, but these fish have been in here, and it's just been small pockets of them. You know, you got to cover a lot of ground, and that's been the ticket for us. But, you know, we've been trolling the K-14s. The Silvertrons have been working, but mainly the Brad's killer fish is what we've been trolling. The K-14s is really what you want to use down in this section. You'll catch more fish on that particular lure over like a size 15 or 16.
I see. That size, later on when they get a little bit more aggressive, you go bigger?
No, I don't. Not in this area. Yeah, you can. You'll catch fish on the 15s and 16s, but in this particular area, with the way the water's moving, you'll always catch year in, year out. You'll catch more fish on the 14s. Now, Rustic Rob, Guy Service, he came out, he designed a lure with Brad's. It's called the Rob's Dragon Glow. That's one of the new hottest lures. You know, they gave us some demos to use, and they put them on the shelves, and they've been selling out because they just, you know, we've been talking about it on Facebook. It's been, I think, the hottest lure out here. And then, of course, the glow nose is always a good color, and the chartreuse bill with the chrome size. If you have those three in your container, you guys will get some bites, that's for sure.
Yeah. You're not using your flashers yet, are you?
No, not yet. You know, some guys have caught off the flashers, but, I'm a true believer that right now you're going to get more off the K-14s and the Silvertrons. Then later on, I'll switch over to the flashers, and I'll still be using them, you know, all of them, because some days you'll have your better days using the 14s, or you'll have your better days with the flashers. But when the water is warm like this, I typically like to use these K-14s.
Okay. Has anybody, I got to admit, there's nothing wrong with those lures and everything, but usually early in the season, it would always be about 50-50, the flatfish, quickfish, Brad's type of lure, or spinners. And I'm not hearing any of you guys using spinners. How come?
You know, I do use them, and we've had to have some bites on them, but I've been getting more bites on the Brad's killer fish. And there's a lot of guys out here that are trolling the Silvertrons, and in my opinion, those are the best, you know, lures, the K-14s or the Silvertrons that you could use this time of year. But it's just, cause we've been out a lot, just about every day since, last Wednesday. And we've been getting more bites on the Brad's killer fishes. Plus, you know, my buddies are out here fishing too, and they got them on, and that's what they've been doing well at.
Hard to be using a lure that you're catching fish and your friends are catching fish, and to take that lure off and put something else on, huh?
Yeah, it's, and this time of year, typically you'll get 1 to 3 bites a day. A good day, you'll get 4 bites, if you find a good school and go back through them. Yesterday we had 4 bites, but not one of them stuck. They hit the lure, one jumped out of the water and spit the hook, the other one spit out, 5 feet, and it was just a crazy day, but it's frustrating, when you have that happening, but it's a good thing to get bites. The season should only get better from here.
Well, and we were talking earlier, Chris, about there's something about a big salmon. You get a customer in your boat that maybe doesn't fish a lot or has never caught a big, they get a big salmon on that they can't control, and all of a sudden panic sets in. It's scary.
That's the best feeling, and that's what keeps me going out here. I love it. It's a drug, and And that's what I have out here with me today, these guys. You know, one person only caught one salmon, the others have not. So it's, yeah, that's how you get people addicted to the sport. That's for sure.
That's right. Okay. Hey, Chris, thanks for taking the time while you're fishing to call in. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, bye-bye. Chris Ditter, Head Rush Sport Fishing, 916-284-9236. Jumping, switching gears. Jim Johnson up at Sierra Streamside Cabins up out of Sierra City. Talk about that area and a recent Alaska trip. Listen, Jim, before we talk about the North Yuba and the Gold Lakes Basin and the closures, I know you got back from Alaska just about a week ago, and you did send me a picture from up there of a huge rainbow. So I'm curious, where did you stay? What'd you do?
I stayed at Naknek River Camp, N-A-K-N-E-K. Naknek, all the rivers ended in ick sound, as you know. So this is Naknek, and it's on the Naknek River that flows into Bristol Bay. It's about 300 miles west of Anchorage.
Okay, and what do they specialize? I mean, a lot of times these rainbow trout trips are side trips, and you're fishing for something else. What was the deal there?
Well, primarily people come from all over the world to catch these big rainbows. And the rainbows come out of Naknek Lake in June when the smolt are leaving the river and heading for the, you know, the ocean. Uh-huh. And then they go back up in the lake briefly. But then when the sockeye come in, and the sockeye come up the Naknek River in droves, Bob, 400,000 fish per day. Heading up the Naknek River into the other tributaries to spawn. Anyway, when the sockeyes begin to spawn, the rainbows come out of the lake and then they come behind the sockeye and they're in the river looking for eggs. There are two major runs of salmon, though, that people go there for. One is sockeye in July and the other one is silvers in the latter part of August and into September.
Uh-huh.
So people often fish for both, rainbows and whatever species of salmon is in at the time.
Yeah. So how big was that, the picture that, the fish that you sent me the picture of?
That was a mediocre fish. It was probably only 26, 27.
Inches?
Yes. And
okay.
I didn't tape it, nor did I weigh it, but I probably that day we did 20 fish over, you know, in the mid-20s.
That had to be 7 pounds.
I would guess it to be 7 or 8. I mean, it was a big hen fish,
yeah.
And she's fat. She's been eating well.
Do they fight as good as I imagine they would?
They are incredible. Yes, they're very much like catching a steelhead. They run, they jump. Even though they're scooping eggs off the bottom, you will have takes that will literally almost tear the rod out of your hands.
I can't imagine. Is that what you did exclusively, is rainbow fish, or did you do some other things as well?
Yvonne didn't want to have any silver in the freezers, coho. So I did not fish for salmon at all. It was strictly a rainbow trip for me.
What a great trip. Great trip.
The biggest fish, I flew north in a float plane 100 miles and fished in a river called the Kulik. And it's a true river, about the same size as the Truckee, maybe bigger. But I took a 28, a leopard rainbow. You notice that rainbow that I sent you the picture of was very silvery. It's a typical lake fish. But I'll send you another picture of this leopard rainbow that came out of a river system up north. And just bright red, beautiful.
Just a different strain of rainbow?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's get back to our area. The forests are closed. Now, I do know that public roads through the forest are open. Does that include, by any chance, the Gold Lake Road?
You can go up Gold Lake Road, you just can't approach the lake. All the approach roads are owned by the Forest Service. So salmon, sardine, gold, they're all off limits. The boat ramps are off limits. If you can get, like where I live, as you know, on the river, if you can park next to the river, so you're primarily on highway frontage, you can walk and fish the river. And the river is fishing okay. Water temperature currently 66. Flow is down to 100 cubic feet, but people are taking fish, but you can't use a Forest Service road to get there.
Okay.
It's very strange. Well, I, in all my years, I've never seen this before.
Well,
it's
mean,
crazy.
Listen, we're caught between trying to protect the forest in lieu of what's happening. But, you know, these government agencies just have a habit of going overboard. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a fire being started by a boat fisherman? I mean, it's a little ridiculous.
Never. I think PG&E is running the Forest Service. That's my theory.
That's Jim Johnston of Sierra Streamside Cabins. They have had some cancellations, and it looks like things are opening up. Remember that Tahoe and Lassen National Forest are opening in about 12 minutes from now. So maybe Plumas and El Dorado will follow suit. We don't know. Jim's number 530-289-3379. Back with an Upriver Salmon Report right after this. Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, we have been talking about how late salmon are all over the state and even up into Oregon. Every single run of salmon has been late, including the most recent example last Monday, the day before they closed the lower Klamath River. A whole school of fresh fish came in. That never happens in the middle of September. They're already well up the river. The same thing is happening all over. The fish going through Sacramento right now, all the guides here, myself included, think those are destined for the upper Sacramento River because the Feather River has an earlier run, the American River a later run. These are big, beautiful fish. And speaking of that, Kurt Portocarrero of Sac River Guide now joins us from upriver and tells us his feelings on it. Good morning, Kurt.
You don't want to know my feelings.
I know. Well, it's tough because usually by this time you guys are having the best salmon fishing in the whole state, maybe the whole West Coast, and it's just not happening yet. You're working hard, getting two or three fish, but it's just not normal.
Nope, it's pretty unbelievable. I've never seen it in all my career like this. It's been pretty tough. We do have a 25 pounder in the box right now. But that's that always makes things a little bit nicer right off the bat. But we're gonna be bouncing row here in about 10 minutes, and hopefully we'll get some few more. But no, it's work. There's just not that many numbers here. You know, I have a few boats fishing out of Corning today, and they fished yesterday. It's the same thing, two or three bites. It's just got a lot of boats, but very few fish, you know.
Yeah.
But we do have quite a few fish jumping right now. I'm up by Battle Creek, up by the Bulls Ferry, and there's fish jumping all over us. So you never know. It might turn around. Well, you and I have talked for years now, and sometimes I get off the phone with you, and it goes on fire. So hopefully that'll be a ticket. Maybe it'll warm up.
Yeah. But, Well, listen, I know that you're very hesitant to predict good things for the future because you want to be realistic, but I got to believe that there's a lot of fish in the Sacramento River system that are heading your way. I mean, the ocean had a good season. We're having a good season in Sacramento right now. I think those are your fish eventually. I got to believe they're going to be there, Kurt.
I sure hope so. We always talk about the old rabbit's foot, but I'm just out here every day trying to make it happen.
Okay, well, good luck. I know if anybody's going to make it happen, you will. So good luck today, and keep your hopes up.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. Kurt Portocarrero, he agonizes over this. He'll go wherever it takes to get fish. So his number, 800-670-4448. Hey, just a final word. You know, I talked to foresters about the climate change versus the brush and the fuel in the forest, and to be honest with you, they laugh at what Newsom is saying because it's not a complete scenario. I mean, climate change, the warm nighttime temperatures hurt fire suppression. The low humidity hurts fire suppression. But like lightning, who starts 35 fires at a time, that's not global warming. And when the fires get going, there's too much fuel in the forest. It's that simple. Have a good week, everyone.